This evening we want to deal with the subject of Christian Science, Unity, and Reincarnation. During the first century and second century of the early church, there arose a heresy known as the Gnostic heresy. There were a group of individuals out of the Greek world who held that they had a higher knowledge than anyone else. The Greek word gnosis means the knowledgeable ones, or those that had a secret, mystical, higher knowledge, which claimed to be the truth of life. And it was this Gnostic heresy which attacked directly the person of God, and specifically the incarnation and deity of Jesus Christ, as well as his atonement. And so John wrote his three epistles, and as well, Paul wrote the book of Colossians to counteract directly the Gnostic heresy in the early church. The Gnostics were teaching that Jesus was merely an emanation of a divine idea, that God was not a personal God, he was simply a divine thought. As Aristotle said, merely a thought of a thought. They taught that the physical world was not real, that it was merely an illusion of the mind. And thus they denied the deity and incarnation of Jesus Christ. In denying the material world, they denied that Jesus Christ was the eternal God who took upon himself human flesh. And so John and Paul wrote directly to this in the first century. Now, Gnosticism died out in the early church in the third century, and it was dead for 1,500 years and was revived in 1875 by a lady named Mary Baker Eddy, who wrote a book published that year called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And Mary Baker Eddy said that she had a higher, clearer, and more permanent revelation than that given 2,000 years before in Jesus Christ. Now, our purpose tonight is not to attack anyone. We're not here to tear down individuals. As I have mentioned before, it is possible to win intellectual arguments and battles and to lose the emotional warfare. And in sharing our faith, we need to do it in love and compassion and humility, or the world will never hear. And we need to have answers for our faith, reasons for why we believe what we believe. Our contention tonight is not to attack Christian Science or those who are in unity, but rather to contend with this heresy which was condemned by the early church and the early apostles, and which has been revived in Mary Baker Eddy. It came as a revival with this statement by her when she said, quote, "There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter, but all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestations, for God is all and in all." She taught that the material world was merely an illusion, that the only reality is God, and God is merely a divine principle, and that we are merely emanations and all part of this. Now, all of the mind science cults or Gnostic cults grew out of Mary Baker Eddy. In 1891, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore broke off from Mary Baker Eddy's teachings, and they combined with that Hinduism, which they had gained from Swami Vivekananda in 1890 at the World's Fair on Religion in Chicago. And all the lesser cults have stemmed from this. Divine science, religious science, New Thought, the metaphysical cults, Church of Spiritual Science, Universal Life Church, Christ Unity Science. All of these metaphysical cults have stemmed from this teaching. They all have one common characteristic. They all teach that God is not a person. He is an impersonal principle or idea. They deny God's nature. Now, tonight we want to deal with Christian Science, which is the basis of most of these cults. Now, they share 95% of the same theology. So in looking at Christian Science, we will also be dealing with many of these other metaphysical cults. Now, Christian Science presently has approximately 3,200 churches across this country. Their headquarters is in Boston, Massachusetts. They have been in the process of decline over the last few years. In 1931, they had slightly over 10,000 practitioners, and practitioners are Christian Science ministers. Well, from 10,000 in 1931, they have been in a gradual decline, where today they have only 5,700 practitioners. And many young people are simply not buying into the Christian Science idea because of their denial of the material world. And a kid, it bumps his head against the wall, and it's hard for him to deny that it's not there. The Christian Science, three-fourths of them are in the United States. The others are in Great Britain, West Germany, and Canada, by and large. Their largest grouping is in California, specifically in Los Angeles, where they have approximately 46 Christian Science churches in L.A. The Christian Science Publishing House in Boston publishes several journals. One of them is the Christian Science Journal, as well as the Christian Science Centennial, which go out and you can pick these up usually in laundromats or that. They have these available for people. They also publish the Christian Science Monitor, an excellent newspaper, and they have a textbook, which Mary Baker Eddy wrote, called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. This is their interpretation of the Bible as taught by Mary Baker Eddy. They have published this in 13 languages of the world. They also have radio programs entitled The Truth That Heals. But it is this that has been the foundation for much of the Gnostic cults and metaphysical cults. So we want to look at this specifically this evening. Now, Mary Baker Eddy was born in 1821, and though she taught that death was merely an illusion, she died in December of 1910. Christian scientists, when asked about it, simply say she is still around. It is merely an illusion that she died. Well, there's grave problems with that in many sad homes. But tonight we want to look at the theology of the Gnostic cults and specifically Christian Science. What do they teach? Because many of you, I know, have Christian Science friends. You have relatives or neighbors. I have a special concern and love for those in the Christian Science religion, because I grew up next door for 17 years of my early life next to Christian Science folks. And as I grew up, my two best friends were Christian Science, and I have a tremendous love for them. And it broke our heart the night the father died. He had been very sick, and as we will see, they teach that sickness is merely an illusion of the mind. It's simply wrong thinking. And when he died, they came and picked him up at 2 in the morning with an ambulance. They didn't want the neighbors to see the reality of it. And there was sadness there. Deep grief. Because the reality is all too present. And the question that we all must face is the fact of death. It is a reality. And either we are going to face it on our terms or God's terms. And because there is a living personal God, it is imperative that we face it on His terms.